What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 28th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I led with Walbert Urania just this morning, and Walbert Urania, I got to say, he's just been on such a good run. He has a 2.7 ERA with a 1.26 whip this year, sure, but since he started using changeups roughly 33% of the time, in some games up to 40%, that mark is well under a 1.15 whip, including that 7 earned run clunker that he had. And last night, it was a 6-inning, 1 earned run game of 2 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. He even pushed his velocity up about 2 ticks, which is so cool to see. 99.3 on the four seamer for the full game. He averaged 100.7 in that first inning. And it was such a good fastball. He felt it so much that the changeup I was just talking about, that is clearly his best pitch. He threw it about 31% of the time last night. Wasn't even touched in 15 pitches in that first frame where he had 2 strikeouts. And the thing about Urania is that the changeup is just so hard to hit at 92. It has legit drop 6 IVB to it, and it looks just like the sinker. When he has that going inside the zone for strike 68% strikes, and he has a better pair of fastballs, then he's just incredibly hard to hit. You know, they can't just lean on that changeup and hope that the fastballs are easy enough to catch up to or adjust to, and when it's coming in harder, it's just harder. So Walbert Urania now gets the Brewers, and then he gets the Marlins in Miami, and then hosts Texas. I like all of that. I think you just keep rolling with Urania until this slows down. You have Tyler Malley having a great start against the Brewers, and he went 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. What's really cool is I was kind of interested in Malley. He hasn't had, like, amazing starts. It was a 7-inning, 1-earned run game against Rocky Road, though, and then at Kansas City, fine. It was 5 innings of 3 earned runs, just 4 strikeouts in each of those 2 games. And this one was only 3 Ks, sure. But he did showcase increased velocity, Tyler Malley did, in those 2 games at 93, and now it's back to 94.2. It was only 52% strike rate on that four-seamer, but that increased velocity made the cutter and the splitter much better, and that cutter is also something that he's really leaned into. Now, the slider and the cutter have been kind of blending throughout the year, but it is a harder pitch in this cutter, right? The slider is normally around 84 or so. We're seeing 88 on the cutter, and he used that pitch 27% of the time. That's an increase of 11 percentage points this time around, 80% strike rate. Good command of it. This is a good version of Tyler Malley. It's where we want him to be, and it's good for the trade deadline. I do wonder if Tyler Malley will get moved to another team if they're seeing this, hey, this could be an SP5 to get us to the playoffs. If he sticks around, he would be pitching in San Diego on Saturday, then hosting the Tigers. That is a 15-team worthy stream. 12-teamers, debatable. You're not getting strikeouts here. 5 whiffs total here in this one. So not really in love with it. But if he goes up to 60, 65% strikes on that four-seamer and holds at 94, it should be better. You have Merrill Kelly having a deduction, or a decline, I should say, in velocity about a full tick. Is not fun, but it was 5.2 innings of 0 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. That one run was in that 6th inning, which had 2 singles in it. And just a little bit of shenanigans to allow that one to come around to score. But it is the changeup that really matters. He destroyed with this pitch. It was 40 thrown on 93 pitches. That is a 43% usage. That's up from about 28% overall before. And a near 70% strike rate with a ton of whiffs, 9 over 40, where he located this beautifully down and away to lefties incessantly. If he has that pitch going, which he has a fair amount this year, then everything should be fine. I mean, he located around the edges with everything. I'm cool with it at the Guardians on Sunday. Again, Merrill Kelly could be dealt. We don't really know. He's up there with the Arizona Diamondbacks, possibly selling at the deadline. Andrew Alvarez was demoted to AAA after this start, as he has not gone a full 5 innings. Now, he was opened for by Eddie Yean, who did not impress whatsoever. Yeah, it's interesting because it looks like Andrew Alvarez added extra horizontal on his sinker. He's up to negative 16 horizontal as opposed to like negative 13, and he got that pitch inside the lefties, which was great, while also adding extra cut invert to the four-seamer at 92, 93, which is, that's a fun combo. That's exactly what you want. You're getting spread away from each other, but obviously it still didn't do much. It was 4.1 innings of 1 and run, 4 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks for Andrew Alvarez. And I love the fact that he's going to the curveball more. You know, it's 83 miles per hour. We like that. 62% strike rate. He had sliders that were generally effective to right-handers, they were a 55% striker, but 36% CSW. It's just not enough. Like, he doesn't have that good of a curveball or slider. The sinker is fine when it's inside to lefties like that. We really like it when it's like that. That was a 71% strike right here. And the four-seamer, I don't think is doing enough as he tries to get the inside to righties. Like, you can see how this does develop. But again, I mean, he's in AAA now, and the Nationals didn't trust him for five innings, I think at all. Maybe it was just once. Max Scherzer returned, and he needed 75 pitches to go 10 outs. Not even. I apologize. 8 outs. 2 2/3. Because his four-seamer allowed 15 foul balls on 32 thrown. That is insanity. You can't go after Max Scherzer, guys. It's just so hard for him to put batters away, to get the outs he used to. It was very frustrating for him. Both balls in play on his four-seamer were hits, and 15 foul balls. Every single time they made any sort of contact on the four-seamer, it was never an out. It's just nuts to me. You have Kumar Rocker, who was very impressive yesterday and was maybe the best version that I've seen of him. Now, I've talked a lot about moving away from the fastballs for Kumar Rocker and going more so with sliders and cutters. And yeah, you still saw that here. You saw about 60% sliders and cutters, but you did get 17 inches of horizontal on his sinker. And that sinker was exclusively used against right-handers 40% of the time and stayed on the inner third of the zone whenever it was thrown inside the zone, except once. And that was the home run allowed to Randy Rosarena. So the fact of the matter is that Kumar Rocker is very good at getting his sinker inside to right-handers and has more horizontal movement on that pitch now, while also having the slider that is just messing guys up. It was a 29% swing strike rate. That is 12 whiffs on 42 thrown. That is insanely good. So you have those two pitches to take down right-handers. It's really about what are you doing to left-handers. No sinkers. And yes, he's getting away with his four-seamer to lefties. I mean, I really don't think this is a good pitch. He allowed a hit yesterday, only 53% strikes. But the cutter is showing up, and the cutter is, well, it should be effective, save for the times that he did throw it over the plate for two singles. But I like it with the slider that is still very effective. I mean, he's really going around the edges with it. This is the best version of Kumar Rocker. I added him to the list yesterday after some protesting from PJ. He was right to protest. Because this was a very, very interesting start hosting the Mariners, who, yes, have been cold, but he does deserve a little bit more love. And actually, looking back at his start against the White Sox last time, he also had that extra movement on his sinker and wasn't utilizing it much against right-handers. That was only 30% usage against them, wasn't getting it as far inside as often. The slider wasn't commanded as well. The cutter wasn't commanded as well. It wasn't, to me, nearly as good as this start as far as just execution of this approach. And I'm more encouraged now than I was last week, especially considering that he just didn't really throw his splitter. He just axed that pitch. He threw it a lot last time against lefties. He just didn't throw a single one here. So I think that's much better. And I'm more inclined to go after Kumar Rocker. He's going to go at Houston next time, which is a lot of right-handers. I think that's okay. I think that's all right. Jack Perkins went against the Red Sox in Sacre Verde and had a no-hitter through five innings and then allowed one hit and then two outs, got a walk, but got pulled. Both runners came around to score, so that's a little bit of a careful Icarus there. I wasn't too impressed. I think the Red Sox are really bad against right-handers. I just don't really see him surgically taking down guys. The changeup was much better, and against the lefties, it did a lot of damage. That is, it went 67% strikes, 22% swing strikes, but it had about 4 inches more drop than usual, which is really cool. At 90 miles per hour, a -3 IVB is insane, and did a lot of damage to left-handers. I really hope that sticks around for him. The sweeper was hit or miss. That is, he had some out of the zone, some too much in the zone. The four-seamer kind of going upstairs. It's all close, but not quite fully executed. And it's also a little bit strange to see him really abandoning that cutter these days, where I think it's a very good 93 mile per hour cutter that is very much different from the four-seamer at 95, that it should be utilized a little bit more, in my view. He could do a Raspek. And yes, there was a ridiculous sinker at 23 inches of horizontal that was thrown to Rafaela for a foul ball inside, up in inside that is the wind. That is a weird thing about Sacramento, is that you will get some crazy, ridiculous pitches at times. And that one was nuts. So the fact that he even got any sort of wood on that is crazy. Unfortunately for Perkins, it wasn't an out. But yeah, I'm not too encouraged. I'm not going to tell you that you have to do hosting the Tigers next Saturday, this upcoming Saturday. But then next Friday, it is in Fenway. And that should be a little bit better. You don't have Sacraverde there. It is Fenway, but it's still better. David Peterson has had a ridiculous run with the Cubs, where he had, yes, this 10 run game, but also had 200 runs, 100 runs, 0 runs, 200 runs in 4 of his last 5 outside of that 10 run game. However, all of those combined for 11 strikeouts. That's 4 games, 11 strikeouts. And sure, 5.2 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks is cool. I love the pitch separation here. Sinkers were down and away to left to right-handers, while 4 seamers are up and inside. That's great. And the slider was down and inside, and that was kind of cool. He missed a lot of those sliders to left-handers. The sinker got inside to left-handers, the curveball, and the changeup, I'm not really going to buy that David Peterson is just now a command artist. It's been his struggle for ages. And yes, the defense is helping massively with the Cubs defense behind him. But as far as weak versus hard contact, it was 60% hard contact and 40% weak. I'm not going to buy that David Peterson is a guy you have to grab against the Yankees, Toronto, and at Washington next. Maybe the Toronto one in a desperate 15-team situation, but not in your 12s. You do not want to go after the Yankees and a lefty against the Nationals. No way. You have Mitch Keller, again, doing productive things. He allowed only 2 hits in his first 5 frames. And then in the 6th inning, he fell apart. 4 singles, actually 3 singles and a double led to 2 earned runs. He did get a called strike 3 on a challenge. But it's 1 tick drop in velocity in this 5.1, 2 earned runs, 6 hit, 1 walk, and 4 strikeout game. 3 whiffs, minus 1 tick on the velocity, 92 to 93. No, you can't go after Mitch Keller. This is not going to last whatsoever. You have other guys I got to talk about. Peyton Tolley, of course, George Kirby and Wheeler and Bradish, Montero, Fried, Schultz, etc. I'm going to tell you all about them and more after this break. Peyton Tolley, 5.1 innings of 7 strikeouts, 200 runs, and 6 base runners. 16 whiffs. Look, the 3 main pitches, 4-seamer cutter, sinker, the RAS pack, even though the cutter is kind of a slider, all had strikes. Things were good. We keep rolling with him. Yes, even at the Dodgers. This was in Sacraverde, and the home run he allowed to Soderstrom was, come on, that was a whack attack. While the Jonah Heim solo shot was a down and in 4-seamer. You don't throw that to Jonah Heim. You just don't do it. That was the only damage done to him. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Really should have been 1 solo shot as the Soderstrom up and in sinker should not have left the yard. I mean, Rafaela's should not have been a grand slam too, to be fair. Tyler Phillips, that goes against Perkins. So anyway, Tyler Phillips, he actually had a good outing here. He threw curveballs 28% of the time. I think that's the right call, 21% strikes, 24% swing strike rate. And this was against the Phillies. 5 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. I don't really think that I can trust Tyler Phillips to go so heavy with his breaking balls. About 50% curveballs and sweepers here at about 70% strikes is what you want to see. And it's not necessarily a terrible pair of 4-seamers and sinkers. The 4-seamer, 95, bad movement. You don't want that. But the 95-96 sinker at 17 horizontal is good. He's not really jamming it, though. That's really the issue. He's not jamming that pitch. He's not doing super well with his fastballs against left-handers. That has me kind of out still. And it is at the Mets and then versus the Angels, and that could work. But I don't think that I want to chase Tyler Phillips. Tatsuya Mai, 0.2 innings of 200 runs, 1 hit, 4 walks, and 1 K. Look, he had a 36% overall strike rate, 2-1, essentially, balls to strikes. It was such a pain. That's a Mai. It's such a big spectrum. He's like Trey Savage this way. Zach Thornton, without a K or an H, did well against Atlanta. 6.1 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. The main thing here is that he goes fastball cutter effectively. That's really it. He is just very good at jamming right-handers with those 2 pitches. Now, his left-handed approach is interesting. It is a lot of cutters, and he tries to keep them away, and I think it's generally good, but it's not so good. And I feel you're going to get a lot of guys leaning out and being able to hit these cutters a ton. He's not going inside with sinkers or anything like that. He doesn't have a good enough sinker to do it. I worry that Zach Thorne is going to get figured out a bit, especially against left-handed lineups. And I don't really think this is that exceptional. You're really hoping for that weak contact situation. He's allowed a lot more hard contact than you'd imagine. 67% hard contact, 33% weak. I don't like it. I just think that it's not the kind of guy you really want to lean into against Miami next, maybe as a stream, but I think it's not going to go your way. You have Brandon Sproat looking bad. You have a tick down. He's not looked good for a bit, honestly. It's 4 innings, 3 innings, 4.2 innings, the last previous three starts against the Diamondbacks, the Pirates, the Mets, and then the Giants here in Oracle Park. 6 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. I asked Twitch. They said I got a streaming victory, even though we got a loss, because it's a poor quality start. I mean, very poor quality start, but it's a quality start nonetheless. I'm not lucky in this. I think his fastball is too much in the zone. His secondaries are not coming through. 25% strikes on the changeup, 50 on the sweeper, 60 on the curve, 40% on the cutter. It's just four-seamer sinker, and they're lower velocity and not locating where they need to. He hasn't figured it out, and it's really unfortunate because I feel like he was there, and then it's just not again. It's not the guy I want to go for at the moment. He's going to get the Angels. He's going to get the Twins and then the Padres. Like, it's a good enough scheduler where he should be cruising, and he's just not. It's too much of a gamble for me at this moment. Yeah, Martin Perez not really coming through against the Mets. Unfortunately, he didn't get that cheap win, and now it's the Nationals and the Yankees. Like, do not touch Martin Perez. Matthew Liberatore is just not doing anything that is exciting. There are some times that he really executes with the slider and the curveball, but the fastball approach is not good. The sinker approach isn't good. He throws too many pitches over the plate. It's just too much pain, honestly. And I don't feel like he's doing anything that you can latch onto to encourage you moving forward. Noah Schultz, not so bad, but it was against the Yankees, 3.1 innings. They gave him an early hook as he ran into trouble in the fourth with 2 walks and a single and a ground out. After 3 pretty clean innings, he did throw only 18 pitches, though, in that one. So he did get a little bit of a high pitch count with over 15 pitches in each of the first 3 innings. But, I mean, that still should be fine. And it was just a laborious time. He didn't have any quick outs for the most part. He's not really putting everything together yet. He needs to get that cutter inside more so. Only 52% strikes in this one. And it was really cutter-sinker that did everything. That's not the Noah Schultz we want. I want to see him a little bit better with his changeup. I want to see him better with his sweeper. I want to see more dominance with the sinker, honestly. 18 inches of horizontal movement, but he's not surprising them inside. Noah Schultz is someone to keep an eye on, but not favor right now. And then you have a lot of these bad guys. So you have Max Free only going 66 pitches. It's going to happen at this point. I mean, really, I don't see a ton to get worried about. I still like the cutter inside to right-handers. I think he threw a little bit too many pitches over the plate. He didn't have the sinker for strikes, 65% strikes and 30% on the sweeper, while the four-seamer was, the ones that he did throw over the plate were not good. It was just a bad one for Max Free. He should get it back. He gets at the Cubs and Atlanta. If you want to wait one more, that's fine, because he's going to be like 75 pitches next time out. I'm going to do it. I'm going to have him as probable start for both. Then you have Kider Montero getting singled out. And honestly, that seems like what he should have been doing for a while. He's not that good. He is a low walk pitcher, and he's had a 7 hit per 9 this year. He should be closer to a 9. It's been a 7. That's Kider Montero. I don't want to take a chance at Zach Rivera next. He's going to get the Giants, though, in Oracle Park after streaming for that. Kyle Bradish, he just had a game where he did not have the best breaking ball command. Curveball was a 21% strike rate. The slider, really what happened here is that he made some really interesting, he just threw too many four-seamers and sinkers. And he threw one bad slider to Dylan Beavers for a hit. The other one, I can't believe, was a hit. And everything else was just, all right, you had to throw fastballs because your curveball wasn't doing it and the slider wasn't doing it. And I don't believe that that's who he is moving forward. So we move on. Zach Wheeler was terrifying because he was down to 93.5 overall. But then by the third, I mean, he threw a 91.3 mile per hour sinker and got the hook. A lot of quotes you can go to about, like, is he okay? Is he not? He's saying, well, it's just a bad game. I'm worried. Like, you have a bad game, but you don't, like, do that, especially with your history and everything. But at least locations were good. If they are starting him at Baltimore, then you start him against at Baltimore. And lastly, we have George Kirby. And this one's just so frustrating because I'm moving on from George Kirby. I think that, I mean, you in 15-teamer, you can't, but in a 12-teamer, you should really be looking at all of your options. And the situation is this. I think he's not taking the right approach, and I think the sequencing is terrible. And there are a lot of cases where, like, why are you giving him the pitch that he wants? Why are you trying to throw a sweeper in this kind of count or a four-seamer in that kind of count? It just doesn't make sense to me. And I just don't like it. I think it's amazing stuff. I think he has all the potential and he has all the runway and none of it is coming together. And I'm just sick and tired of waiting and telling you that's going to, because even the previous start, it felt like he understood it and then he doesn't now. So I'm out on George Kirby. It was 4 innings of 700 runs, 0 walks and 3 Ks. All right. But that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. Thank you all truly for being around here. And I know it's July. A lot of you are maybe listening and trying to get to your playoffs and win this year. Well, we have our PL Pro Alpha launched right now. It's been a soft launch. You import your teams to Fantasy. And guess what? We give you all of the Process Plus that you want. You get our metrics and our rankings for who is available in your free agency. It's incredible. All 5 major platforms, NFBC, Yahoo, ESPN, Fantrax, CBS, all of them are included inside of it. So go sign up today with promo code DASHBOARD for 15% off. We have more updates coming as well. And through the new year, it's our path to 1.0. It is an alpha. There are some bugs at the moment. If you want early access to this right now, go sign up with promo code DASHBOARD for PL Pro yearly. Get 15% off. But all right, that is it. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your bounce below and your strikeouts high.